I'm sorry that Sheldon's not here for my pun this morning. But I hope this sermon goes well no matter how you slice it. Anyway. So here we are in year B, and when we go through year B in the lectionary cycle, we have, usually we focus on Mark's gospel, but Mark is such a short gospel, and he's so to the point that we run out of material. So we jump over to John's gospel, and we fill in with some of the gospel of John. And so as we're here in the summer of ordinary time and we're learning about what it means to be disciples of Jesus, the brilliant people in the lectionary were like, I know, let's stress preachers out and make them talk about bread for 5 weeks. So yeah, we're going to talk about bread. So if you were with us last week, you saw that we read the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the crowds from the Gospel of John. And so it is on the heels of that miracle and that experience that the people in today's gospel are coming to find Jesus. They're seeking Jesus who had fed them by the seashore with meager scraps of food, simple staple foods of barley loaves, five to be exact, and two fish that were able to perform a miracle and feed the masses. And so the people are looking for something. The people are seeking Jesus. And if you ask me, I think the truth is they're still hungry. They're still hungry for what Jesus is about. And maybe they are quite literally still hungry. I mean, it's not like you can eat a meal one day and go without food the next day and still be full. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we are hungry too. Now, I will fully acknowledge that we live in a world that still suffers from hunger. Suffers from hunger in a world when the planet itself produces enough food that all might eat. ELCA World Hunger estimates that there's about 821 million people around the globe that suffer from food insecurity. Here in the United States, that number is closer to 40 million people suffer from food insecurity and go about their daily lives worrying whether or not they will be able to put food on the table for dinner. The statistic gets even more alarming if you look at our own city of Philadelphia, where the statistic is 1 in 2. 1 in 2 worries about food insecurity and hunger in their daily life. So yeah, we're hungry. People that we know suffer from food insecurity, and they hunger. And I am fearful that this pandemic is making those numbers worse. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger and will never thirst. And while, yes, there are hungry people in this world, I think the hunger is deeper than that too, especially in the ways that it affects many of us in this congregation. I think people are hungry for purpose in our world. You see, the crowds were asking, what must we do to perform these miracles? What do we need to do to participate in this ongoing and unfolding truth about who God is in our community? The people wanted to be able to do the same kind of miraculous feeding that Jesus was doing. And so Jesus points them back to remember that it's about their faith. It's about the very nature of God. Jesus says, remember that it wasn't Moses who did the feeding in the wilderness. It was their heavenly Father who rained down manna. Begs the question for us, do we have faith like that to remember that God continues to do that raining down of manna from heaven in our world today? And I have a hunch that folks here probably do, because it doesn't look like the white, flaky substance of dew in the morning. It might look like a 5-gallon Ziploc bag full of socks and food and jellies and snack foods that we call blessing bags that rain down like manna from heaven. Or maybe it's the cans of food that come in here week in and week out that we then take down and put with the larger stocks at Colonial Neighborhood Council to meet the needs of hungry people in our community. So I would say yes, we understand the purpose of our faith in our lives to continue to feed a world that is hungry and in need. And I think that people are hungry for a place to belong, a place to be fully known as wonderfully made as you are, not as the world might think that you should be, but as God has made you, to love you beyond your faults and your misgivings. Remember, the crowds were looking for Jesus that day. He moved on, and they were like, wait a minute, we really liked what you were doing, and we really want to be a part of what you're doing. So they follow him to the other side, to Capernaum, where he continues to unfold before them the stories of God's miraculous healings and teachings and casting out demons. They want to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the world. It's not that unlike the way we in Christian community want to be a part of being God's very resurrecting presence in the world. We want to be the people who make a difference. We want to see that we are part of the community that does God's work with our hands. We want to be a part of that. And I am finding that even in these pandemic times, more and more people want to be a part of that ongoing actions of Jesus. And so we've started to invite all kinds of people. We don't care whether you're 4 years old or 94 years old. We all have a part to play in that community with unique giftedness to invite others and to show others that they belong to a God of love. Not a God of judgment and wrath, but a God who lovingly looks at you and feeds you and says, you belong as part of this community. So Jesus reminds them of this act when they're looking for the quick fix. I feel like sometimes the crowds were looking for fast food and Jesus was giving them real food. Real food that says, if you want to know what it's like to be sustained by the bread of life, it means participating in this thing that we call church. Not church in here, but church out there. To be the feeding and healing and sustaining presence for others. That we, fed and forgiven people, are sent into the world to be God's gracious hands of healing and feeding. Because that's where the hungry people are. Because that's where the hunger for purpose and identity, the sense of belonging, is unknown. It's no shame that this world sometimes judges us for what we are and what we do. And yet we have a God who says, you are my child. We are fed by the very presence of Jesus and sent into the world to remind others of their value in the sight of God. God is not here to judge us. God is here to love us. That's what Jesus came to teach us about. And that gives us purpose and life in a world of doubt and insecurity. So yeah, there's hunger out there, but that hunger is not unknown to us. And Jesus gives us the bread of life to do something about that hunger, about the 82 million people who go without food, but also about the people who are longing for a purpose in their life. To see that they are fed and sustained not by some tricky miracle of multiplying fish and loaves, but by the very presence and faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gives us the power of resurrection to raise up the long parts of this world that some people think are dead and gone. So that when we look at a world that is struggling from hunger and poverty, we, being fed by the bread of life, know what to do. We put our talents and our abilities at work to alleviate poverty, to end systemic oppression, to overturn the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. Because that's what Jesus came to teach us to do. Amen.